moments, God touching, activating, life-giving. This is probably like what Easter was like on that first day. In fact, I was sitting there thinking, this is starting to feel more like Pentecost. Yeah. Sound. Luke 24, I want to talk in a kind of a wrap-up of everything we've already just seen. You know, God loves to demonstrate by His Spirit what He's doing, and then His Scripture comes and opens our understanding so we can receive it for ourselves. Because everything you heard anyone testify that Jesus was doing for them, He'll do it for you. No respect of persons. And the whole of it, from the financial blessing and the release and taking off of poverty to mental torment to hearing the voice of God to coming alive, it's all there for every one of us. So I just want to share really quickly Luke 24 because there's this little phrase that I heard the Lord when I gave a title for today. The title was simply, "Why So Sad?" And I love my Lord because He does not come. Here's the truth. Here's some really incredible truths that I just kind of saw this week. Number one, all through the Gospels, it's all about Jesus. Once the resurrection takes place, the narrative changes to be about the disciples. Because now it's the disciples coming into experiential truth that Jesus, who is the firstborn raised from the dead, they were coming into that identity. So we now hear the stories of man, His disciples beginning the end of the Gospels and the book of Acts just expanding it, of people coming to receive what Jesus did for themselves. So it changes from a narrative about Jesus to a narrative about His church discovering Jesus. The other cool thing is that resurrection is a violent force of life. You know, it's not like Christmas. You know, by the time you're hitting, what, you know, October, you're starting to be, we're all being told, oh, yeah, Christmas is coming. There's the Christmas tree in the mall, and there's the ads coming in the mail, and our hearts start to prepare for this little teeny baby who's going to just gently be placed in a manger, and it's going to be just kind of really, it's sweet and tender, and I love Christmas. Easter, it never comes on the same day. This year it's early because of our funny calendars. It's violent. You can't prepare for resurrection. You cannot. If we were to say, let's all prepare and we're going to have resurrection, that's impossible because resurrection belongs to God. It's a force of life. And when Jesus came, He came forth so violently that from that point on, the paradigm was going like, we got to switch. We got to think differently. Jesus is not that wonderful man walking on the shores of Galilee. He is now a resurrected Lord. He is the high priest under the order of Melchizedek. He's walking as the King of Salem in peace. And boy, it's just, He spent 40 days with His disciples appearing, reappearing to try to get them to see that, yes, I really am raised from the dead, to shift the paradigm and talk about the kingdom. And then in the midst of all that, He says, don't try to do any of the things I'm teaching you or revealing to you. You've got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, because then He's going to be on every one of you and you're going to be able to go do the work. So this thing we've stepped into is impossible to be sustained by man. We can create things that feel like, oh, that's lovely and wonderful and poetic, but I like the raw life breaking in. Don't you? Don't you just like God to start to interrupt my journey? But He's a kind God. He doesn't come and just say, I'm the resurrection now. Everybody get over your stuff and follow me. He comes along and He journeys with us into our stuff so we can discover Him as the resurrection for our life. Because we're all being conformed to His death so that we can all be conformed to resurrection. We're all journeying through our own life's conflicts and sufferings so that we can come and appear with Him in glory and victory. And those moments when we're stuck and lost and separated, it feels, is the time that you've got to have a true encounter with Jesus. There's three things that you're warred over. You're warred over the idea that you have of an accusation or charges against you. You can think bad about, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. You ward over the separate sense of condemnation. Oh, I'm going to pay for this, I'm going to pay for that. And you're also ward over the idea of being separated from God's love. I'm never going to know his love. I'm never going to be cared for, tendered. And those are the things that God said, that's impossible because of what my son has done. I have justified everyone. Anyone who believes in my son has found justification by what he did. Everyone has been glorified in my son. So the end of your journey has already been determined to be brought into the image of Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And every one of us are in union with Christ through what Christ did. And we can appear before God. And I did that at the 9 o'clock service. You can get more on that. But Luke 24, let's just begin right at the first verse. Now the first of the week, very early in the morning, certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Do you understand that the paradigm shift, heaven had fully come into union with the resurrection, and the disciples weren't even still remembering that that was the goal of the end. So they're always asking questions that come from truth that confront my position of, why am I here? You know, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You're not going to find him here. He's alive. And they said, he's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Ah, yeah, they remembered his words. You know, life's trauma and drama can take away the things that we once were told, and they don't seem to have current sound. But all we have to do is have an encounter in the resurrection, and all that was said floods back, and we go, of course, of course. So they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. So again, we're talking about the 11 apostles, and they're going, this is like, I don't know. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So it's just grappling with this. Now, behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. In every resurrection appearance of Jesus, the one he came to join himself to could not discern he was the resurrected Christ until God opened their eyes. God has a way with joining my journey so that I can have a chance to identify my place before he reveals to me he is the resurrection to get me out of my place. It's huge. So can you imagine you're walking and you're 7 mile journey, you're leaving, you're in dejection, and now Jesus is kind of just joined himself and you can't tell he's Jesus. And he says, well, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And they said, are you the only foreigner? Are you the only guy, stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which happened in these days? And he said to them, this is Jesus now, okay? Come on, get the humor of this. This is Jesus saying, what things? What things? Apparently, he got over it. He wasn't carrying any trauma. He didn't need any healing. He was fine. What things? Oh, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And then here's the personal connecting point. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying, oh, that they'd seen a vision of angels and said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. So I love Jesus that he will allow me to tell him my story. You see, you can't just put on truth without unpacking where you really currently live and the journey you're currently in. And Jesus is well ready to walk with us, allow us to share our stuff before he begins to unpack the truth and the freedom and the life that we really need, this resurrection life. So he says to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. I don't know about you, but by the time Jesus wants to unpack and free my life, I'm ready to hear. And he starts talking. He says, ought not the Christ, and I don't hear these words, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I want to tell you something about resurrection life. I'm spending my entire conscious pursuit to experience resurrection life because I believe that it is something so much more than we've yet to touch. I am very conscious of death. I think all of us in this room have been touched by death. We've had people we love die. We've had dreams we held die. We've had circumstances that we thought were going to take us here just disintegrate before us. Death is not something that we are not familiar with. So that part is probably, there's a yielding and a trusting of God like Jesus to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm not going to stop my life with you even though my circumstances want to cause me to give up and drop. And that's what we were hearing the testimonies today of life coming back. But this idea of glory, this idea of resurrection life coming in and taking over, that's always the end of suffering is glory, and always the other side of death is resurrection. Always the other side of loss is going to be gain. Now, it may not be in the material fashion that you thought it ought to be when you were losing the material thing that was affecting you, but it will bring forth such life that it will swallow up whatever it was that you had hoped for and eclipse it and ultimately answer it. It's just, he's huge. So he's now just, I can see Jesus just kind of going, man, it's going to be really hard to bring them the word of truth without just shining light all over this place. But I'm going to do my best, guys. Here we go. You're a little thick. Let's start at Moses. All right, you remember Mo. Okay, Mo said there's going to be a prophet like him after him that you would listen to. And yeah, let's go into the prophets. Okay, there are a lot. You remember Isaiah talked about the suffering servant. Did you remember what he said over in the resurrection verses? Oh, and how about the Psalms? How about David when he was talking about that his soul was not left in Hades? Do you remember any of these things, guys? Hello? So he's just, but you know, Jesus could do that. I love it when he does that to me. He can tease me in my ignorance, but he never condemns me. He just frees me. It's just kind of like, that's why laughter so much and joy so much a part of the kingdom. Because we learn to laugh at ourselves and joy. Keep it up. I'm going to keep going back, please. So he's doing this, and it's a seven-mile path, and they finally get close to the village, and he indicates, I'm going to keep going. And then it says, next, verse 29, it says, well, they said, look, it's really late, and stay with us tonight. The day's gone. So they pull him into the house. I love this. You see, don't you understand? Jesus is not pushing himself on you. Because if he pushed himself on you, you wouldn't have the capacity to really become one with him. He opens an opportunity to begin a conversation, to begin to see how far that conversation you would like it to go. And the further you will journey with him, the more you'll want of him, the more it opens the door to when he's ready, he can go kaboom. And every one of us in this room would be running around declaring to anyone we could find this great discovery of God that we just came into. The testimony of Jesus, the victory that I've just found, the life that he's just brought. That's who he is now. He's just resurrection. So he's sitting there, he comes in, and it says he sat at the table with them, and he took the bread, he blessed it, which is so much about covenant, and he gave it to them and says, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. You see, because Jesus will hold himself in one level of restraint from the natural so he can unlock our spirit man again to hear his voice. And when we all of a sudden recognize his voice, this we might see, but this we don't need. And this sound. And now they really recollect. They go, wait a minute. He said, didn't our hearts burn within? Did you feel that burning heart while he talked? And while he opened the scriptures. People read the Bible and go, I don't get anything out of the Bible. It's because he hasn't opened the scripture to you. You have to ask him to. You have to say, this is your book. You wrote it. It's a living testament. How do you open it to me? Help me understand. And then it says they got up that night. It's evening. And they run to Jerusalem, 7 miles back. Tell you what, you can be as dejected and depressed and discouraged and sad as sad can be, but one conversation with Jesus, to one encounter with a living Christ, to a resurrected God, and you'll get up and run. You'll run, and people go, where are you going? I'm going back home. I'm going back to where I met my Lord, where he said for us to be. And you just see them run in there. And there's the 11 gathered, and they say, the Lord's risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon. And they're going, yeah, well, he appeared to us too. And they told him all the things that happened. And just as they're talking about, because here's the deal, when we start talking about the resurrected Lord, when we start giving some credit to the experience of God that we had in his word, in his voice, by his spirit, and others start talking, it creates a place where Jesus just steps right in and says, peace. To all of you. You know, we're going, you heard Peter got it, you two got it, now let's all get it. That is so powerful. Because he's reconfiguring. But these guys are frightened, they're terrified. They're going, whoo! They don't, I used to think I'm just going to go up there and give Jesus a big bear hug when I see him. No, it's overwhelming to my natural senses. It's recalibrating in levels I've not yet prepared. So they're just terrified. I think I've seen a spirit, verse 38. And so he says to them, why are you troubled? Because you're alive. That's what's troubling you. You're standing right in front of me. Why do doubts arise in your heart? Because I've never met a resurrected man. I don't know what resurrection life looks like. I know death. I know discouragement. I don't know resurrection. Oh, touch me. Behold my hands, my feet. It's I. Handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and blood. I love. Thank you, Jesus, for his willingness to work with my theology, whatever level I begin with. And then he said to him, he showed him his hands and his feet, and they still did not believe for joy. They're marveling. So he said, okay, I can just see. Just go. You guys have any food? Let me have something to eat. You're not going to see it go in and disappear into the floor, fall on the floor. Let me have some food. So they gave him a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he eats. And they just go, whoa. And there they are, and he says to them, and I'll catch this, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Beloved, you will hear the Lord speak to you about the journey you've had with him and all that you've experienced in the journey you've had with him. You'll understand they were a part of all that was spoken of the Lord in the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. It's like recalibrate your life. It's like the evil narrator spoke of your life in demise and destruction, and all of a sudden Jesus said, oh, wait a minute, you have no idea what I was doing. I was bringing you into glory. My goal is glory. I'm gonna exalt myself in you, and you will find me. So he opens their understanding. This is where I want to pray today, because there's a super strong anointing right now for anyone who would like their understanding to be opened. Now, you can be as smart as you are and stay that smart, or you can get your understanding opened, because there's an opportunity to see, to hear, and to understand, and then have that opportunity to turn and be healed. Opens our understanding. The word understanding is the root word for knowing. It's experiential knowledge. It's something, he says he opened their understanding, they might comprehend the scriptures. Another way to say that is that he opened up their knower to know. He got their knowers to work again. Got them recalibrated so they could come into a relationship with a resurrected Lord. And he said to them, and here it is again, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise the third day. It was written, and it was necessary, and this is the outcome, and it shall be for every one of us in this room who are his followers. You will suffer, but you will be resurrected in glory. You, just as he is my life, he will appear, and when he appears, I'm going to appear with him in glory. And if I walk with him in fellowship of suffering, I'll know the power of his resurrection. And you go, why? How about we just have a little bit of resurrection or a little bit of suffering and a lot of resurrection? It's proportionate. So if you're going, oh, my life is all suffering, then go, woohoo! I'm going to have an experience of resurrection as large as the suffering. Thus it is written. You see, beloved, truth is so radical if it really grabs me and starts to pull me into agreement. That's why the 9 o'clock service I talked about, now we'll do it on Wednesday. How do I allow truth to become an experience and not just something I've assent to, but something I experience? So this is what's happened. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning in Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. He's like going, guys, this was all in, we're right where we're supposed to be. We're in the midst. Here we are. And goes on and he says, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. Beloved, God opens our understanding and we can begin to know and have experience with Scripture. But to be the witnesses, to see the sound of what we're seeing magnified or amplified, to be able to touch the humanity that's dying, it takes the power and person of the Holy Spirit to clothe us. And he's clothing us. He's coming to clothe us. All right? He's coming to first answer your questions with Christ. Not to answer the question with an answer, but with Christ. With an experience of a resurrected Lord that swallows up everything and says, this was this and this was that, and here we are in glory. Let's go. And then he's coming to endow us and clothe us with glory of the Holy Spirit. It's coming, and today is the day. It's not about what you know about the Bible. It's who you know in the Bible. It's not about what you know. You don't need to know anything more. You need to know him, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of his suffering so you can be conformed to the power of his resurrection. You need to know him because he's a righteousness that comes by faith and not by the works. And you need, and we need the Holy Spirit. We don't need more purposeful, you know, I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to pray longer. We need a Holy Spirit because he's the power. He's the power. The power of the Holy Spirit will allow me to live the life God gave me to live as a witness. I need the revelation of the scripture. I need to see Jesus. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. Everything else, maybe some details here and there, but it really boils down to those two parts. Jesus died, buried, raised from the dead, ascended, sent the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we could be a witness of what we saw effectively and powerfully and joyfully. So there is coming right now, recalibrating. God knows your life. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've gone through this last year, this last season, this last 10 years, last 20 years. It doesn't matter how long of a dark journey or how disjointed of a journey you feel like you've been in. He knows the entire journey and has been there all the time. And he's ready to open our understanding so we can go, wow, there's something to my eternal connection to God through Christ that is now to release glory in the earth. It's like I don't need an answer. All I need is an experience with Jesus. I need a new experience. So I want anyone who wants their knower to get knowing again, their understanding to be open so they can perceive. Would you stand up with me? Because I believe there's an anointing here. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless you. We bless you right now. We bless you for how you interjected yourself into our service this day with resurrection life. You injected yourself with our children and their ministry. You injected yourself with testimony. We injected yourself with the declaration of resurrection in our finances and liberation from debt. Lord, you just broke in. But Lord God, not all of us have had you break into our own personal life yet. But that we want. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer. You pray it with me. We're going to give God permission to break into our life and reveal himself to us. So say this, and then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. So together say, Heavenly Father, I ask you now to bring Jesus, to send Jesus, to walk with me, to talk with me, to interpret my life in light of resurrection, to open my understanding, to comprehend Scripture, to make my knower work, so my heart can believe, to take me out of pessimism and depression and separation and condemnation and accusation, and bring me into union and glory and justification. Open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart to understand you, to see you, you, Jesus. Thus it is written, thus it was necessary that the Christ should suffer and be raised on the third day. Bring personal connection to me, to this truth. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask for the gift that Jesus purchased and sent to the earth. Precious Holy Spirit, send Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Give me a prayer language, Holy Spirit, to speak in other tongues, to have visions, to dream dreams, to prophesy, to have power. I need your power. Holy Spirit, power. Jesus Christ, authority. Holy Spirit, power. Jesus Christ, authority. I receive. I receive. I receive. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, before I bless you, just send you off to a beautiful Easter day and resurrection families, we're going to have ministry team available for anyone who would like prayer, personal prayer. And I want to release a blessing, but I want you to pause, take a moment, and I want you to get quiet just inside yourself for just a second. You might close your eyes. It's easier to get quiet. And take a look around and look for the point of connection where the Lord has come to you. What sparked you this day? It could have been in the worship, could have been in the testimonies, it could have been in the songs, in the message, or in the prayer right now. But look for the Lord. And just again with your heart, open yourself to travel with him, to let him join you in the journey. To join you in the journey and allow him to draw the conversation out of your heart before he begins to explain the journey from his place. That's the best volition that you have to welcome him to do so. Now I want to bless that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that every one of us were known before the foundation of the world. You foreknew us and you predestined us. The day we would be born, the parents we would have, giftings, likes, the journey we'd be in, with a desire and express purpose that we would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be conformed to your image of the firstborn from the dead. Holy Spirit, you who know us intimately and have watched us, you journeyed with us and know all that's going on inside of us. You who know that Jesus Christ is everything, awaken a calling so that the voice of God comes again afresh. Release the sense of justification that what we have done or not done, what has been done to us or not done for us, is not sufficient to keep us from a vibrant life in a resurrected Jesus Christ. Break it open so that there is nothing that we're in that can deny us access to total joy, enjoyment, and union with Christ. Release the glory that Christ began to walk in resurrection. Let it rest upon every one of us. Because it's in your glory we see glory. It's in the glory we see glory. It's in light we see light. So let glory rest upon us. And Lord God, now draw us into the union that you gave us in Christ, where love conquers all. Release love into every heart, every one of us, that conquers every situation, any situation, any accusation, any condemnation, any principality or power. Let love now fill us so that we might be your disciples of love, filled with love, met by Christ, surrounded in his glory. Holy Spirit, you who make these things possible through the power of your ministry on the earth today, we welcome you. Do it in us. Do it for all of us. Do it online. Do it for the rest who will hear later. Let it be today, Jubilee met the resurrected Lord. And he is good. He is good. He is good. And he is a great God, a great King. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. God bless you. Have the most wonderful rest of your day. Ministry team will be up front. We'll see you Wednesday. God bless.